News, culture, and NPR.
Live from the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On today's show, May Day. Workers, immigrants, and activists are joining forces in a powerful show of resistance all across the country tomorrow. Coming up, we talk with local organizer Ann Hart about the protest right here in Liberty, New York, and why it matters more than ever. Who says Halloween only happens once a year? Get ready for Half-Oween. It's Halloween in the springtime, happening at the Bridge and Tunnel Brewery right here in Liberty as well. Plus, the Art of Giving, a spring soiree at the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance. And it's Cider Fest this weekend at Seminary Hill in Calicoon, New York. We'll learn more about all of that coming up. But first, the news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. Stocks opened lower this morning as the Commerce Department reported a drop in economic output during the first 3 months of this year. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average tumbled nearly 700 points in early trading.
It's not the economic report card the Trump administration was hoping for as the president marks 100 days in office this week. The nation's gross domestic product shrank at an annual rate of 0.3% during the first quarter. That drop was largely driven by a surge of imports as businesses and consumers raced to stock up before the president's tariffs took effect. Imports are a negative for GDP. Personal spending, which is the biggest driver of economic activity, grew less than half as fast as during the previous quarter. Other economic scorecards are also flashing warning signs. The S&P 500 index is down sharply since Inauguration Day, and consumer confidence has fallen to its lowest level since the start of the pandemic. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
Trump is apparently blaming former President Joe Biden for the poor economic report. Writing online, Trump says, quote, "This will take a while, has nothing to do with tariffs." Trump also tells people to, quote, "be patient," followed by three exclamation points. Trump had a more direct message for his fans last night near Detroit. At a rally, he celebrated his first 100 days in office.
"This is the best, they say, 100-day start of any president in history, and everyone is saying it. We've just gotten started. You haven't even seen anything yet. It's all just kicking in."
In his first 100 days, Trump has signed scores of executive orders. He's fired hundreds of thousands of federal workers, slashed DEI efforts, and infuriated foreign allies. Trump supporters say he is taking the steps that they want, but polling of Americans suggests falling support for the president. The U.S. Supreme Court will tackle a knotty conflict between church and state today. At issue is a test case from Oklahoma. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports it is over whether overtly religious schools may also be publicly funded charter schools.
On one side of the case are two Catholic dioceses in Oklahoma. Representing them is lawyer James Campbell.
"You can't create a public program and then just simply say that no religious organization can apply."
On the other side is the state's Republican Attorney General, Gentner Drummond.
"Religious liberty is really the freedom to worship. It is not taxpayer-funded, state-sponsored religious indoctrination."
A decision in the case is expected by summer. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
The House is expected to vote today on a Republican effort to get rid of a California plan to block most sales of gasoline-powered cars by the year 2035. The plan had been approved by the EPA under former President Biden. California officials say they need this to cut greenhouse gas emissions. You're listening to NPR News. In Southern California, thousands of union employees of Los Angeles County are expected to continue their strike today. Members of the Service Employees International Union are walking out for 48 hours. Steve Futterman reports they want to bring attention to the collapse of contract talks.
On day two, numerous county services will again be impacted, including libraries, parks, and non-urgent health clinics. With so many workers out, many county offices are at a standstill. On Tuesday, thousands took to the streets to march and take part in a rally. One of those speaking was Eloy Alvarez.
"Are we not going to take it anymore? Are we going to stand up and fight?
The union wants higher wages. The county says the union demands are not sustainable. This is just a two-day walkout, but the union warns there could be similar and lengthier actions if substantive progress isn't made. For NPR News, I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles.
The state of Florida is poised to ban fluoride from its public water systems. Utah has already done this. Opponents say fluoride is endorsed by medical professionals as a public health achievement that prevents tooth decay. Scientists say they've discovered an invisible molecular cloud of gas not that far from Earth. It would seem gigantic in the night sky if we could see it. Scientists say molecules in the gas cloud can collapse, and if they do, they can form baby stars. Scientists picked up on this find when they scoured the sky with special equipment to read ultraviolet light. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News, from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Charles Schwab, offering investors choices like full-service wealth management, advice, investing, and trading on thinkorswim. Learn more at schwab.com. And from the Doris Duke Foundation.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for joining us. Tomorrow, May 1st, is May Day, and across the country, communities are coming together to stand up for workers' rights, immigrant rights, and democracy itself. Here in Liberty, New York, organizers are joining the nationwide wave of resistance with a local protest that's drawing support from folks who say they've had enough of corporate overreach and political attacks on vulnerable communities. To tell us more, we're joined by Ann Hart, a local organizer helping lead the charge in Liberty this May Day. Ann, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
May Day has a long history tied to workers' rights. How does this local protest connect with that tradition?
Well, Sullivan County is full of working families, and all of the rights of working families are at risk with this administration. Families need housing, they need health care, they need fair wages, they need union protection, and they need safety in their community. And that's why we're here on May Day, or will be here on May Day, to point that out.
This year, organizers nationwide, as you say, are protesting the Trump administration's policy. The administration just marked its first 100 days in office. President Trump was in Michigan for a rally last night. What specific actions or policies have galvanized people across the country and here in Liberty to take to the streets?
Well, we recently did a survey of people who showed up to the April 5th rally, and one of the comments that people made more than anything else was the attack on due process. It was interesting to see that was the highest rated comment, that people felt that they cared about that issue more than anything else. But that said, there are attacks on SNAP programs. There are attacks on Medicaid. There are attacks on all of this. We've had our young farmer, beginning farmer program cut. We've had reductions in USDA contributions for food banks. We've had, we've had our community and prevention and intervention project cut at Extension. So these are things that have already happened here in our county, all of whom, all of which help our communities. And so it's really about standing up for our communities, the people in our community, whether we're personally affected or not. We are a community, and we should stand up for all of our neighbors.
The nationwide, this movement's bringing together a wide range of communities, immigrants, federal workers, working families, as you mentioned. Is that coalition represented here locally as well?
I think it is. From the people who have signed up to attend both either April 5th or who will be coming on Thursday, I know in some of the communities and some of the Democratic committees, they're planning different actions and events that they can do to help their community, be it a protest, be it organizing for a food bank, be it a teach-in about issues that affect people. So people are really sort of standing up and beginning to figure out how to stand in for when governments are cut. We obviously can't replace the money. We have a budget that'll be voted on in New York State, and I know that they'll probably come back again once cuts continue. They'll have to go back and figure out what to do with the state budget, which, of course, is going to impact all of us. So this is ongoing. We really have a lot of uncertainty. I think people are afraid because they don't really know what's going to happen. They're just afraid of what will happen. And obviously, with immigration, we've seen U.S. citizens deported or really kidnapped, and that's really unacceptable. So we're at a crucial time in our country's history. We've lived through crucial times before, and it's our turn to stand up and do what we can to protect our communities and our democracy.
You mentioned that April 5th hands-off protest. There's the May Day protest tomorrow. Have you been seeing growing support from people who may not have previously participated in political protests like these?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Some of the comments that we had with people or who responded to follow-ups or had conversations, they're like, I've never done anything like this before. I don't know what to do. I just need this. I need to stand up. You know, we get emails over the transom for the Democratic Committee as well, saying, I've never done this before. How do I help? What do I do? So there are people who really, you know, who have been quietly living their lives who seem to feel that it's time for them to stand up, too, without any urging from anybody.
Nationally, some of the organizers have used the phrase, quote, we are the many, they are the few. What does that mean to you personally and to this protest movement as a whole, do you think?
Well, there are more of us than there are of them, the billionaires that want to seem to control our country and take and keep all of the wealth. They're modern day robber barons, really. And there are more of us than of them. And we have to show our power, you know, our power in numbers, our power in people, and our power in beliefs in our government. And that's what we're trying to do, because there are more of them than us.
Organizers have also mentioned that the administration's
not... I mean, more of us than them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Organizers have also mentioned that the administration is not just targeting one community, but many at once. How has that reality influenced unity behind this protest and unifying groups to come out and march and make their voices heard?
I think it brings people out of their own, you know, sort of little bubbles that, you know, we all tend to live in. We have our communities, we have our volunteer work, we have our work, we have our families. And I think it serves to bring us out of what are the places where we normally are and where we normally spend time and have conversations with people, and brings us out to realize that, you know, there are impacts that affect all of us one way or another. And that we are one community at the end of the day.
May Day has multiple meanings. There, you know, it's known as International Workers' Day. There's a spring festival and pagan traditions. It's also internationally recognized as a distress signal for aircraft emergencies. What kind of turnout are you expecting on May Day in Liberty? And what kind of changes or outcomes are you hoping will come from this protest locally and nationally?
Well, there's been a healthy sign up through we joined in with the sign up function of the May Day Strong People, which is that one of the national movements for May Day. And there's been a healthy sign up. Our experience with the April 5th rally is that people who sign up, some of them don't show up, but others who didn't sign up show up. So I expect a nice crowd. A friendly crowd, a peaceful crowd with signs and chants and songs. And really what we hope to accomplish is to keep people aware that they're not alone. You know, in Liberty, Liberty is one of the communities with a number of undocumented people, to show them our solidarity with them, that, you know, we are there to support them as well. Additionally, I think that, you know, the actions will come from people saying, oh, well, what can I do? How can I help? And then developing whatever those things are that fit their skill set, but also help our neighbors.
Let's remind folks when this protest is happening tomorrow, where it is, and how folks can get more information or get involved.
It's May 1st, Thursday, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., on the corner of Chestnut Street and North Main Street. Or there's a scaffold there, so if it's not there, it'll be North Main Street. If the scaffold is still there. It will be South Main Street. There's parking behind Main Street, up and down South and North Main Streets for people to park. And we expect it to be a great time.
And before we go, just for those who are listening who may feel frustrated or unsure if they should get involved or how to get involved, what is your message to them?
Join us. Stand up. We will figure it out together. We will figure out what it is that we need to do. We will advocate for things that need advocating for. We have a letter writing phone call group in our group. They accept requests for letters on legislation or action from our elected officials. They make phone calls. And they're very active in sort of helping direct us in that way. Most recently, there was a letter that's going out to our congressman to ask him to support a bill which would restore funding for the AmeriCorps group. And so we're trying to be positive in our, you know, in our outreach to our elected officials, to show them what we care about and to show them that we are there, that not only are we watching them, we're trying to help them along the way and let them know that the people are behind them and what they're trying to do.
And where can folks get more information about that? Is there a website or social media?
They can send an email to waos@myyahoo.com, and then we can connect them further from there.
Ann Hart, local organizer, helping lead the May Day protests in Liberty, New York, across the country. Communities coming together tomorrow to stand up for workers' rights, immigrant rights, and democracy. Ann, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tim. Take care.
We'll take a break and back with more Radio Chatskill after this.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, independent grassroots global news. Our reporting includes breaking daily news headlines and in-depth interviews with people on the front lines of the world's most pressing issues. People speaking for themselves, providing unique and sometimes provocative perspectives on global events. Democracy Now!, weekdays at noon, right here on Radio Catskill.
This is Ari Shapiro with NPR. If you've been thinking about helping this station with a contribution, but now is not the right time for a financial gift, you can donate a vehicle you don't need. Pickup is free, and it could be worth hundreds of dollars in support. Think about it, and thanks.
We accept any vehicle, running or not, including cars, trucks, boats, RVs, motorcycles, and more. Donate at wjffradio.org.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. This Saturday, the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance is inviting the community to a spring soiree, a DVA, an evening of creativity, connection, and support for the arts. Joining us today are Ariel Schamberg, Executive Director of DVAA, and Alessandra Lavarone, a DVAA board member, to share what makes this event so special and how your support helps fuel a vibrant year-round calendar of visual, performing, and community arts. Ariel, Alessandra, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Great to be
with Alessandra
you.
Was like springy over there in her seat. You're ready for the spring.
Yeah, but also it is my first time at the new studio.
Well,
the last
welcome.
Time I was on the air was in the Jeffersonville, you know, hub. So I'm so impressed with the decor and the design because, you know, that's what turns me on. It looks amazing.
A little different. The official title of your event Saturday is The Art of Giving, a Spring Soiree. It supports DVAA's year-round programs. Talk about what kind of visual performing community arts programs these funds help sustain throughout the year. Ariel?
Oh, so many programs. We are right now about a quarter of the way through our exhibition program. We have two galleries that have shows year-round presenting local and regional artists. We have the Tustin Theater and Krauss Recital Hall where we present live performing arts, films, musical events, theater events. We are also serving as the Arts Council for Sullivan County, where we provide re-grant funds and technical assistance to arts organizations and artists all over Sullivan County and even throughout the Upper Delaware Valley region. And we also produce two festivals a year. Hard to believe. This will be the 35th year of Riverfest and the 14th year for the Big Eddie Film Festival.
14th, wow.
You guys don't rest.
We love what we do.
Alessandra, from a board perspective, how crucial are events like these, the Spring Soiree, to the long-term vision of DVAA?
Well, honestly, it's been such an honor to be let into the behind the scenes of how much the staff and the board of directors and all of the volunteers do. The numbers are, you know, incredible, but also limiting. So we really do need to support these kinds of institutions. And when they approached me to join the board, I was more than happy to give that commitment. And it's amazing what they do with the money. I mean, they just, it's always open to the public. Obviously, the galleries during the week, right, Ariel?
Mm-hmm.
And there's other ways to get involved online. They're launching a lot of members-only programs, so you can become a member online. It's only $50 a year, and you get so much programming. But the fundraising committee, which is what I'm going to be a part of, is just, I'm just looking to make it fun and more age appropriate to bring in new members, which would be so great. So we're going to be doing a dress up kind of event. It's going to be a little bit Park Avenue vibes. You can still get tickets for the spring soiree. And, you know, it's just a nice opportunity to get dressed and come talk about your businesses as well and the things that you're doing. And we can just all come together. There's going to be lots of food, lots of live music, a live auction. And it's just going to be fun, fun. We're decorating. And there's also artists involved, which Ariel can tell you more about. So.
Yeah, you guys have quite a lineup here. You want to talk a little bit about the arts, the artists that are involved? And then we can talk more about the auction as well.
So, as Alessandra mentioned, we'll have some live music. We're really thrilled to have Jason Sherwin, who I believe has graced this airwaves. we'll be playing some live music for the opening of the event. You know, fundraisers are about a community coming together to support something. And doing that and doing what we do at DBAA is in its own way an artistic practice. So one of the elements of our Art of Giving Spring Soiree is we're going to have some blank canvases with art supplies. And we have a group of really incredible, creative, thought-provoking, and imaginative local artists who have given each 20 prompts. So guests attending will each get a prompt. And they will collectively get to contribute to making each of these canvases.
Can you give us an example of one of the prompts?
It's kind of top secret, but
you have to buy a ticket.
But this was one of
there's a prompt.
But this is a reason why the Ariel and the staff and the boards are amazing, because I had this idea. I'm going to be donating the canvases from the Velvet Maple, and then Ariel just kind of took it and found these artists. And when you arrive in your attire, you will check in and you will get an envelope, and then behind a red velvet rope you will be able to paint on these canvases, and then the artists, which Ariel will explain to you who they are when I'm done, will kind of tidy up those paintings, and the live auction online of those paintings will continue past the event, and you can acquire this group painting. That's for fun. Your own home.
It's a fun idea. I mean, you know, fundraisers, you might think crudité and cocktails, but you guys have you paint your
There's
own
an experience.
Canvas.
Yeah. Yeah, in your heels. don't have to wear heels,
required.
But heels suggested. Just kidding. But tell us about the artist. So we just got to confirm it's exciting.
Yeah, no, we're so thrilled. We have Thomas Boskett. Mm-hmm. We have Samuel Green. And we have Rocky Pinciotti all confirmed. So three very different types of artistic practices, each bringing their own approach to the idea of giving prompts. And then the artists themselves will have the opportunity to embellish the collectively made works.
I'm so excited.
And then you mentioned this auction. Greg Triggs, whom we know,
is the best.
Helming the auction. Talk about the energy he brings to this event, as if we didn't know.
Greg is a master of separating you from your hard-earned dollars and making you feel good about it. And that is, you know, so much of what this event is about, is feeling good about coming together as a community. It was a long winter, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. So long.
So as Alessandra said, we need an event to dress up, to get our heels on. Or our lace shoes. We'll see. We'll see on Saturday. And get together. We've got a great signature cocktail being provided by Do Good Spirits out of Roscoe. We have great food coming.
We have a mocktail for people that are trying to drink less that is going to be curated and provided by the Herbal Scoop, the amazing Kendra, who has a new flagship store in Narrowsburg, and everybody else. So many. Two Queens, Flirty Riot. So in general, this was another idea that Ariel let me run with. Thank you. The auction items are going to be experience-based because I felt that what the community needs is connection. So you're not, there is going to be, of course, beautiful baskets and things that you can hold, but there's a lot of experience-based auction items.
Like what can you tell us?
Yeah. A cameo in a burlesque show by Flirty Riot if you wanted to create, you know, your dreams. So that's pretty exciting. Coffee tasting with Martin. There was just so many. What were some of the other ones?
There's a beautiful basket from Hall Space in Barrieville.
Which comes with a ceramic lesson also from Sullivan Public, where you can go. Sullivan Public donated, you know, a ceramic session. Yeah. So you can go and make something and hold. And I just feel like being here for 13 years full time, these are the things that I'm looking for, is to get out of the house, create with some of these. A lot of us, yes, we own businesses, brick and mortar, but there's experiences behind our businesses that go, you know, further and wider than the product that you purchase. And so I felt that that was a way to connect with what DVA is doing.
Yeah. What I love about these auction items, these experiences, is that they're rooted in wanting to create a lasting experience, you know, something that goes for, even beyond the great cocktail party for 3 hours. So, you know, and that speaks to what we're always trying to do at DVAA, which is build community through the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And just to add, one of our amazing board members, Lily, she, for example, is donating a live portrait painting session. So this is a very one of our higher priced items. And you can go and you can sit with her and she will paint your portrait.
Let's give folks the details if they want to attend or donate or support. Is there an RSVP deadline for tickets, or
Saturday? So this is Wednesday, and it's this Saturday from 5 to 8 p.m. We know there's a lot of exciting things going on, so you can purchase a ticket, stop by at the beginning, stop by at the end for the auction, bounce around. You can also purchase tickets if you're not going to be around town to donate, which we'll distribute to perhaps some
wonderful young artists in our community
who can't afford the ticket. So there's always a way to give at the page when you go to, what is the website exactly?
Delaware Valley Arts Alliance.org, and you'll find it right on the homepage, a link to purchase tickets and learn more details about the event.
And then you press click here, and then you can buy a ticket or more than one ticket. But if you cannot come, there is a nice black button at the top that says donate. So that will count as this fundraiser. Thank you.
100%.
As we emerge from our long winter's nap here and celebrate spring with this spring soiree, you guys are obviously looking forward to dressing up and having a little fun on Saturday. But what are you looking forward to most this season, this year at Delaware Valley Arts Alliance?
Oh, goodness. You know, since we started back up again with the galleries in February, I have to say that just the opportunity to be working hand in hand with artists in our community, the winter salon we had, seeing folks coming out for the programming that we have has been so invigorating. I will say that on a personal note, I am really looking forward to our award ceremony on May 20th for our Arts for Sullivan grantees. We will be presenting the awards for, let's see, 23 community arts and art education grantees, 6 individual artist fellowships, and we just concluded our Sullivan County for Arts and Heritage grant cycle, and those grantees will also be presented. I believe we have 14 grantees there. Right. So we get to show off at the awards ceremony the incredible breadth of artistic activity that's taking place over 2024, and really looking forward to seeing WJFF there as one of our grantees.
Yes. I mean, it's groundbreaking, the money that they give out. It's amazing. So this was a new – new knowledge for me coming onto the board, and it's incredible.
So, as a new board member, what are you looking forward to most this year about
the parties? No, I'm just kidding. No, it's a great time for me. You know, my son's a teenager. I have a lot of time on my hands right now. They approach me at the, I've always purchased art at the DVA. Obviously the openings are such a great buzz for Main Street businesses. We're so thankful to you every time that you do the festival. You know, these calendar dates are essential to our community's growth that you guys set up. And we all base our business hours around them.
And there's a unifying aspect for the community behind these events as well, especially when you talk about the breadth of arts and artists in this area. It is really kind of amazing. We always talk about that, but really having events like this and having the Delaware Valley Arts Alliance unify us is great. So thank you for that information, guys. It's the Spring Soiree, the Art of Giving, the Spring Soiree at Delaware Valley Arts Alliance this Saturday. More information at DelawareValleyArtsAlliance.org.
Join us. Thank you.
Ariel Schanberg, Executive Director of DVAA, and Alessandra Lavarone of the DVAA's board. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. So fun.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, also this weekend, Cider Fest. That's coming up in Calicut, New York. We'll learn more after a break. This is Radio Chatskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. The Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Alliances have shifted.
I'm aligned with the United States of America and for the good of the world.
Markets have been sent reeling.
At the moment, we're living through extreme uncertainty.
President Trump has remade relationships with allies and adversaries alike and shaken the global economy. I'm Michelle Martin. Join me for a live special report from NPR News as we look at the first 100 days of the Trump administration and consider what's next.
Monday night at 7 on Radio Catskill.
This week on the Retro Cocktail Hour, we're off to Havana with Les Baxter. Muzzy Marcellino demonstrates the art of Pocalo, and there's some persuasive percussion, too. I'm Daryl Brogdon. Join me where the music's always shaken, not stirred. The Retro Cocktail Hour. Coming up tonight at 7 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. This weekend, Seminary Hill is hosting its annual Catskills Cider Fest, a unique gathering of cider lovers, foodies, and music fans alike. Joining us with more is Stacy Cervellina, the special events manager at Seminary Hill. Stacy, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, we're trying to get your director of food and beverage, Maria, on the line too, but we had not a little luck here, so we'll try to get her soon. But tell me a little bit more about Cider Fest and why that's different from a typical festival you might have.
So it's the first Catskills Cider Fest, this part of the Catskills, and Maria's gathered over 10, I think 11 cideries at this point from the region. We're hosting it in the tent. It's really a celebration of the region, a celebration of cider. It's, you know, and it's really nice to collaborate with all these folks. I know our team went to CiderCon, which is an amazing, it's the best title.
I love it.
Which was, I think, in Chicago. I know it's like Comic-Con, but for cider heads. And they had a great time. And, you know, we're really all about collaboration and working together and supporting each other. And I think it's just going to be a really fun event. They'll be out in the tent with that beautiful view of the Delaware and the mountains. We'll have food, outdoor, you know, we'll have everything outside, food, drinks. We'll have music with Colin McGrath and the bluegrass band that he's put together. So it'll be a great day. We'll have the bonfire going. Hopefully it'll be nice and warm and sunny.
Yeah. And when folks think of cider, they maybe typically associate that with fall. So why is having Cider Fest in spring a good thing that you guys want to do? And what does that mean for folks in terms of like being able to taste ciders at this time of year?
Well, I think first of all, just seasonally, we want to, you know, sort of kick off our, you know, the tent goes up in May, just kicking off spring. It's also just a beautiful time. It's a little bit different than the fall. We're going to taste a variety of ciders. You know, we'll have some, I mean, we have so many different kinds of ciders, but, you know, it'll be a chance to experience what's new. I think some new things that people have been making. I know Maria could really speak more to this. I think she's trying to get on the line.
And here, I think we have her here now. Maria, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Maria. Maria, of course, is the director of food and beverage and catering there at Seminary Hill. Sorry we couldn't get you a little earlier, but talk a little bit about what Stacey was saying there about your part of Cider Fest.
Yeah, so Cider Fest is going to be a great opportunity to not only showcase the cider at Seminary Hill, but also the you know, what New York State has to offer in cider. So it's going to be 10 different cideries, including us. So a great opportunity to see what everyone else has been working on, and to see, you know, the grounds of Seminary Hill if you haven't visited before. So it'll be really a really fun day just to connect and sample some great cider.
And talk a little bit about this Passive House Certified Cidery. What does that mean? And what will guests see on that tour with, I guess, your cider guy, Joshua Hinchman?
Yeah, so we are the world's first Passive House Cidery. And I'm sorry, Stacey, if you wanted to say something.
No, you go ahead.
So really our building, like the architecture, was built to be energy sufficient. So like, for example, in the cellar, it's like 8 inches of concrete. All of our windows, doors are triple paned. So we're really looking to be a sustainable business, trying to save energy, even the way that the building was built, to have like the sun shining in to bring heat in. So it's really cool. It's a beautiful building. And Joshua, you know, we'll be able to share so many details about that, orchard practices that really just show how sustainable our practices are.
And Stacey, did you want to add anything to that?
We do have a tour. So Sunday, the day after Cider Fest, it's Mother's Day. We have a special tour, tour and tasting, which if people want to do double the fun with our owner, Doug Deutsch and James Hartford, who from River Architect, he designed the cidery. So it's a special tour with the two of them. If people are really interested in sustainability and passive building design, that's a really fun tour, interesting experience for them on Sunday.
Maria, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the food. How do you approach crafting a menu complementing cider, which maybe some folks don't know about? You people talk about wine pairings, but what about cider pairings? How do you approach that?
Yeah, so it could be similar practices to how you would set up a wine pairing. Of course, if you're having something more on the sweeter, fresher side, maybe you want to pair it with a cider that has that similar taste profile. Or maybe you want to offset it with something that will kind of balance it out and give you a different kind of taste. So in terms of Cider Fest, we're offering a specialty dinner menu for later on in the day that's going to showcase some of our ciders with food. And Cider Fest itself, we will have more like handheld snacky foods, classic, you know, like cheese boards, charcuterie boards, and some other yummy items to go with the cider. But cider really goes so great with so many things, whether it's cheese, fish, different kinds of meats. So for people who are new to cider, you could think of it as how you would pair with wine.
I was going to ask you guys, both of you, for folks who are new to cider, why do you guys think this is the perfect event for folks to start exploring?
Yeah, so the cideries that we have participating, I mean, everyone is super knowledgeable. And on site, we will have most of their cider makers with us to talk about their processes and the ciders that they're offering. It's, you know, even for me starting at Seminary Hill a little over 3 years ago, I was more so new to the cider world. So there's so much to learn about the process, the apples that go into it, how you get different kinds of tastes. And for people that are new to cider, they definitely will help you guide you towards a cider that you will like or that's more approachable to you. So So it's definitely a great way to dip your feet in.
What do you guys both hope people take away from Cider Fest beyond just, you know, great cider, great food?
I think the great products that New York State has to offer, the agriculture that we have and everything that, you know, you can get right here in New York State. And even that, you know, 10 different cideries are coming that are, you know, pretty local to our area. I think it's just a great chance to see that, you know, wow, we have so many great products and people working on great things right here.
All right, let's remind folks where they can get more information about the event this weekend, when, where, and how.
Yes, so if you're interested in coming to Cider Fest, it is going to be on Saturday, May 10th, and we have posted the link on our website. Also find us on Instagram and Facebook, and we certainly hope to see you there. It's going to be a really, really awesome day.
Stacy Cervellino, Special Events Manager, and Maria Turbush, the Director of Food, Beverage, and Catering at Seminary Hill, telling us about Cider Fest coming up this weekend. Thank you both so much, and Maria, glad we were able to get you on.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Thank
a quick
you.
Quick break for us. And when we come back, a special appearance. We're live and folks come by all the time. And we've got a group of folks from Leadership Sullivan. We'll chat with them right after a break. This is Radio Chatskill.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. This week, we've got interviews that will put a couple of great books on your summer reading list. We're talking about the poetry of food and the life of the legendary Judith Jones, who brought Julia Child back to America. That's coming up on The Splendid Table.
The Splendid Table, Sunday morning at 11, on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno, and as I mentioned, we're live here in Liberty, and as part of that fun, we get some folks coming in to visit us, and today we've got a group of folks from Leadership Sullivan who are here, and also joining us is our own Jason Dole, a Leadership Sullivan alumni. Jason, can you just tell folks what Leadership Sullivan's about?
Yeah, it's about, you know, people learning about the ways that the county works to develop leaders. You know, you can't have leaders coming from within the community unless they understand how the community functions. And guess what? Radio Catskill is part of how the community functions.
Look at that. We got two leaders here. Will you guys introduce yourselves to folks?
Yes. Good morning. My name is Jesse Robinson, Board of Director of Sullivan County Chamber of Commerce.
Cool.
Good morning. My name is Jennifer Jensen, and I am the class president of this year's Leadership Sullivan.
Well, thank you, Madam President, for being here. tell us a little bit more about like what you guys are doing. You're coming by. You're learning more about all of the great businesses and organizations in the county. What does this do to help you guys improve your leadership?
Well, there's a lot of sections of Sullivan County that go unexplored. So although someone may live in the county, they don't know how all of these things play into whether it's the economic or the community aspects of things. So it kind of gives us a backdoor view on really how our county in general works.
And there's some things, you know, I've lived here for many, many years. You guys have been here for a long time, too. There's some things you just don't know. I mean, this county is so large. We talk about the geographic, you know, breadth of this county. And sometimes you don't connect with folks. And so this is a great way of connecting with other people and learning more about how this county works.
Absolutely. One of the beautiful things about Leadership Sullivan is that it gives you the opportunity not just learn about the county, but it gives you opportunity to meet very important people in Sullivan County, people that probably don't even know you exist.
Like Jason Dole.
Yes.
I'm twisting the day away.
So what kinds of things have you been doing so far?
So far we've toured agricultural farms. We have different media days like today, visiting radio stations and such. The government center, you know, going through a meeting with some of our representatives there. We've had lots of different days ahead of us as well.
There's some folks in the other studio. Hi, guys. How are you? What do you hope those folks get out of this program?
Well, it's just really being community-based and how we can give back. For some of you who aren't familiar, the Leadership Sullivan is the charitable arm of the Chamber of Commerce. So we're really here to see what we can do to improve our community as leaders and what we where we're lacking in Sullivan County.
And how can folks get to learn more about Leadership Sullivan or how to give that input that they're talking about here?
You always contact the Sullivan Chamber of Commerce, go online, or you can speak to Ashley Levitt, Jerry Newman, or speak to Lori James as well, too.
She's over here waving her hand.
Yes, the foundation chair. Yes, yes. You can reach out to them and just learn more about how you can get involved with the foundation.
Are there some things you guys are looking forward to coming up?
Yes. Yeah, so an exciting project that we're working on for our class this year. We're really trying to tackle the food insecurities throughout Sullivan County. And it's become it's not just a homeless issue or a low income issue. These are our friends and our neighbors who are struggling right now. So in an effort to put our spin on that, we are constructing several little free food pantries throughout Sullivan County. So Jeff Bank has generously, they're running a food drive for us at all of their locations. So if anybody does their banking with them, if you could bring some non-perishable goods or hygiene items, that would be terrific. We will have some ribbon cuttings. You can follow us either on Facebook or online, and you can see when we'll be opening those. But they'll be sporadic throughout the county just to help us, you know, tackle the food insecurities that we are finding out there.
Jason Dole, any advice you have for this class of Leadership Sullivan being one of its alumni?
Oh, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. You go along for the ride and you learn so much. And it's just great to see this year's class.
Thank you guys for being here. I'll let you go so you can soak up the knowledge and wisdom of the alumni, Jason Dole. And we'll move on to our next segment. Plus, you'll get to learn more about Halloween. Did you know that we're halfway to Halloween?
Oh.
And they're celebrating it here in Liberty at Bridge and Tunnel. We're
going to
learn more right after this.
Yes. Thanks,
Radio Chatskill. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Support comes from Sullivan 180, building healthy communities through people, places, and policy, one degree at a time. More information at sullivan180.org. From The River Reporter, the community newspaper covering four counties in Pennsylvania and New York along the Upper Delaware River. RiverReporter.com. And from listeners like you, who donate at wjffradio.org.
Whether Radio Catskill brings a smile to your day, some inspiration, or a greater connection to the Catskills and Northeast PA, we're proud to be here with you. Federal funding, about $1.60 per person annually, helps keep these trusted services strong and accessible to everyone in our community. Learn how you can safeguard local public media stations like ours by visiting protectmypublicmedia.org.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. And for those of you who can't wait 5 months till Halloween, the Bridge and Tunnel Brewery in Liberty is hosting Halloween. That's a halfway to Halloween celebration. It's coming up on Friday. It was created by a new Pulse band, Ramona Lane. And joining us from the band are Jordan Pacht, Kyle and Eric. And Kyle and Eric, I didn't get your last names. I'm sorry about that. Hello.
Hello. Hey, how's how you doing?
Good morning. First of all, tell us a little bit about Ramona Lane. How did you guys get started? What kind of music do you play there?
So we call it rhythm and punk. We play a little bit of everything. We have so many tastes and we try to all incorporate it in what we put out.
And Halloween in the spring. Where did this idea come from?
Well, this is the founder right here.
Yeah. So that's a holiday I kind of came up with. I was thinking you can have Christmas in July. Why can't I have another Halloween? So that was kind of the birth of it all. And it's just been growing and growing. And it's a beautiful thing, a time for people to come out and show their true selves with the costumes and all that good stuff. And
tell me a little bit about it. It's at Bridge and Tunnel Brewery here in Liberty. What can folks expect when they walk in on Friday?
It's going to be really cool. We got all kinds of spooky decorations going on. We're I built an indoor-outdoor door so that we can have...
What does that mean?
Indoor trick-or-treating.
Got
trick-or-treaters
it.
So, you know, people who haven't got to go trick-or-treating since, you know, who knows when, you get to go inside and do a little trick-or-treating.
You know, we get these great costumes, wear them once a year. We gotta put a jacket on to wear them.
Yeah.
So it's a Halloween in the spring. It's great.
Talk about some of the costumes and trick-or-treating interactive art as well. Are there any other surprises? The indoor door was one.
There's going to be someone reading tarot cards.
Yeah.
We're going to do a little costume contest with a prize.
Okay.
And perhaps some other special things you have to find out.
Now, is this family friendly or are you looking at this a more 21 plus crowd? What are we looking at here?
I mean, it is a brewery, but it is definitely open to anyone. Anybody is welcome to come by. It's going to be a real nice time. You know, it may be a little spooky, but we're not really turning anybody away.
Yeah, Bridge and Tunnel says it's all ages, dog friendly, family friendly. It's a welcoming place.
All right, so break out your Halloween costumes now if you can't wait. Now it blends, of course, art and costumes and music. How do those elements all kind of come together for you guys as a band doing this as well?
So, I love spooky music. I have a 28-hour, spooky playlist that I like to jam on, okay, from time to time. And so, we definitely have some, you know, cool, spooky songs that we've been cooking up for the event. It's fun to be able to show them off more than once a year. And, it's gonna be a lot of fun. And also,
the punk rock spirit is very DIY. So we like to, you know, throw these things ourselves instead of it's, you know, oh, come see my band at a place. Like, sure. But hey, come to this full event with multifaceted bits of art for everyone to enjoy. We just like to promote our full art spirit rather than just one lane.
Right. Why do you think it's an event like this important to do in like a community like Liberty or, you know, New Paltz, wherever you guys are doing events, like in the, you know, the smaller community to celebrate this kind of spookiness in the spring?
It's great. It kind of brings the community together. It was really awesome. We got to go around, flyering, and we met like most of Liberty. And, it was funny because we would go in and we'd be like, hey, you know, we're doing an event. And they're like, okay, that's cool. And then we were like, it's a Halloween event. And they're like, oh, it's a Halloween event. Oh, you've got my attention. And so, it's really cool. Everybody seems really excited about it. And it was, really great to get to meet the community, get them involved. Get everybody, you know, together and celebrating something fun and exciting. And, yeah, that's,
Eric, you wanted to jump in there.
Yeah. Just to add on to it is that, we've only grown and gotten to where we are because of the community that we've been a part of. And I think to remind people that we're still around and we're still a part of it and we're not just doing nighttime bar shows, which are fun. They're great. And that's where people can see us maybe let loose the most. It doesn't always have to be what defines us and what gives people the opportunity to come out to see us.
Talk a little bit about the New Paltz music and art scene. What's it been like there? How's it influenced you guys creatively and your sound?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, we really cut our teeth, you know, from the early starts of just playing their open mic every like Thursday night. We'd bring our whole band on stage. We're a 4-piece full rock band with drums and everything. And that evolved to, you know, playing some pretty significant shows like the New Year's shows we do there. And we've, you know, packed the place to capacity and it's a great time, but we really grew on those kind of stages and, you know, late night enthusiastic college stages. But as Eric said, we're dynamic. So we like to express ourselves dynamically.
Now you guys are playing at this event, right? Are there other bands playing too?
Just us.
Just you.
Yep. Okay, yeah, come party with us. We're throwing
we'll probably
a big
do
old
a couple
party.
Sets.
Yeah.
It'll be definitely dance music inclined, a couple spooky old favorites thrown in there.
Is this something you see as a tradition happening yearly for you guys or for the community?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hoping to turn it into a nationwide holiday.
Is this our third or fourth one?
Oh, you've done it before.
Yeah. We've done it more privately, so we're just expanding.
Yeah, we're expanding.
You've gotten out of your living room and into the brewery. Yep, exactly. Okay, let's remind folks where they can get more information about the event, when, where, and what's going on.
Sure, I think our social media is the best way. We post everything. So just Ramona Lane is the best way to find us on all social media, and we post a lot. In fact, we brought something for you today.
What's that? Oh my gosh, cool.
This
it's
is
the
CD. Our album we put Overnight. Out last year, Overnight. It's fully self-produced, recorded, mixed, and mastered by us, and we love it, and it's really great.
That's awesome. And also a sticker. I'd like a sticker. Yeah. This is great. And I love a CD. Before we go, I you know, Kyle, this was your idea. I just want to also mention this also was something that appeared on the 4th episode of season 5 and the 98th episode overall of the Nickelodeon series iCarly, where Carly, Sam, and Freddie wonder why you can't celebrate Halloween more than once a year. Any, do you have any
gotcha beef? Journalism?
That is us. That's breaking news right there.
Oh man,
do you have any beef with iCarly now?
Oh no, absolutely not. I'm just glad we're all on the same page.
Yes.
I mean, we're of the Nickelodeon generation. I have a Reptar tattoo on my very leg, so I think it's It's just parallel thought.
It is definitely within the same thinking and the same crew. All right. That's Jordan, Eric, and Kyle from Ramona Lane. They are presenting Halfoween, the halfway to Halloween celebration. It's Friday at the Bridge and Tunnel Brewery here in Liberty. Thank you guys for coming. We appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
All right. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Quick break for us and back with some closing thoughts after this. It's Radio Chatsco.
Next time on City Arts and Lectures, poet and novelist Ocean Wong. He's the author of On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous, and now he has a new poetry collection. He'll talk about that and more with filmmaker Mike Mills. That's next time on City Arts and Lectures on this public radio station.
City Arts and Lectures, Sunday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
On the next Radio Lab, the story of a piece of plastic we don't think about very often.
The cassette changed everything.
The cassette tape.
Cassette tapes were absolutely central in the Iranian Revolution.
The impact on China was just utterly profound.
I mean, you can draw a clear line from the cassette to the internet.
No.
Absolutely.
Join us for the third episode in our four-part series, Mixtape.
This afternoon at 1 on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Before we go, a reminder that we're urging our listeners to contact their lawmakers to oppose a potential rescission package that might be introduced by the White House any day. They're planning to release a proposal that would claw back already approved public media funding. If Congress agrees, stations like ours across the country could lose critical support almost immediately. So please go to our website, wjffradio.org. Click on the Protect My Public Media button. It will take you to the website. You can send your message right now to your lawmakers. You just put in your information. It will automatically generate an email that will be sent to lawmakers to urge them to oppose efforts to claw back federal funding for public media that's already been approved by Congress. And again, federal funding is about 25% of Radio Catskill's budget. It also supports the vital services of over 1,500 locally operated public radio and television stations nationwide. And if you're listening now, you probably don't need me to tell you that research consistently shows most Americans support funding for public media. The Pew Research Center found that Americans are nearly twice as likely to support continued federal funding for NPR and PBS as to oppose it. So again, defunding public media won't just disrupt services that we provide to you and that other stations provide across the country. It could force some stations to shut down entirely, leaving people without access to essential resources. Public media matters. Send your message now to protect it. Go to wjffradio.org, click on the Protect My Public Media button, and send that email. We always appreciate your support, and we always thank you for listening. I'm Tim Bruno. We'll see you tomorrow.
Support comes from Sullivan 180, building healthy communities through people, places, and policy one degree at a time. More information at sullivan180.org. From The River Reporter, the community newspaper covering four counties in Pennsylvania and New York along the Upper Delaware River, riverreporter.com. And from listeners like you, who donate at wjffradio.org.
Starting in the 1950s, there was a push to get meat onto Americans' plates at every meal.
So you would have breakfast with maybe perhaps sausage offered. You'd have lunch where it would be deli meat sandwiches, and you'd have dinner that would center over a large cut of meat.
The hidden forces behind our everyday decisions. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Friday afternoon at 1 on Radio Catskill.
On the next Jazz Night in America, a drummer seeks a larger-than-life sound by unlocking the potential of a double-string quartet.
I am kind of incapable of having small ideas.
It's Nate Smith's Kinfolk with members of the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. That's next time on Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Join me for Jazz Night in America, Sunday at 8, here on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Today's forecast for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania: sunny, breezy, and cooler, high 61. Tonight, cloudy, colder, low down to 33. Tomorrow, times of clouds and sun, high 65. Tomorrow night, overcast with a little rain later on. That rain extends into Friday with a thunderstorm or two and a couple of showers later on as well. High up to 75. Looking ahead to the weekend, high 67 Saturday with periods of rain. Sunday, 59, cloudy and cooler. On Point is coming up next. You're listening to Radio Catskill.
Alliances have shifted.
I'm aligned with the United States of America and for the good of the world.
Markets have been sent reeling.
At the moment, we're living through extreme uncertainty.
President Trump has remade relationships with allies and adversaries alike and shaken the global economy. I'm Michelle Martin. Join me for a live special report from NPR News as we look at the first 100 days of the Trump administration and consider what's next.
Monday night at 7 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. You're listening to Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.